track session number 11206, reel 1.
Mr. T.R. Thornthwaite, reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Thornthwaite?
I was born in Bensham Road in Gateshead, and when I was young, about a year old, I went to live in Jesmond Vale.
What date was the birth of this?
That was 21st of June 1916. And as I say, about 1970, I went down to live in Jesmond Vale.
What kind of an area was it?
Well, Jesmond Vale in those days, there's a book being wrote about it. It was a little village on its own, and you had to climb banks either way to get out of it. In winter time, when the snow was on the ground, it was horses in them days. You were cut off, you know, they couldn't get in or out. But it was a marvellous place for a young person. You know, we had all the Jesmond Dean, we had the parks, we had the river to play on. We had a tip behind. We used to play on the tip.
What kind of a tip is this? A pit?
Refuge. You know, just waste. It's all filled in now. There's a garage on top where it used to be. And we used to play there. We used to slide down the tip on a piece of tin. That was our enjoyment them days.
What work did your father do?
My father worked at Vickers Armstrong's. He was a millwright. During the First World War, he was a third engineer in the Merchant Navy. And he used to sail to South America on oil tankers and that. And then he worked at Vickers, and he used to travel from Jesmond Vale to Vickers Armstrong's, Scotswood, every day.
Was this good employment?
Good employment. Well, it was a good job. I mean, it was a thing he'd do it, but there was a lot of layoff in them days, unemployment, and some days he used to have to walk there with his clean overalls and his bait, as they call them, and stand waiting, hoping somebody didn't turn up for work to get a day's work, and if not, he had to come all the way home again. It was a long way to go in them days without the transport we have today.
What kind of wages do you recall you would get?
Well, the first I can recollect of the wage you got was about 1930-odd. It was about £2.10 a week, I think it was, round about that. £2.10 a week, if I remember rightly. Mm-hmm.
Did your mother work?
My mother? No. My mother used to, before they were married, was a waitress in a cafe in the centre of Newcastle there. It's being pulled down now, actually. I had four brothers, other brothers, and a sister. And my mother died when I was 10 years of age, in 1926. And I was the oldest of the family. My mother died from the effects of childbirth, and the baby that was born died afterwards, called Lennox. And we lived there until 1927. We moved up to Gainsborough Grove, up the west of Newcastle, because my father couldn't cope with all the children and going to work, and it was too far away from relatives and that. So we moved up to Gainsborough Grove. And we lived there until I lived there such times as I left home. Yeah.
Which school did you go to when you were 5 years of age?
I went to Sandyford Road School.
That was Newcastle?
Yes, it was near, just on the top of Jesmond Vale, Sandyford Road there. Because I always remember the... it was next door to a brewery, Jupiter's Brewery. And the wall at playtime, I mean, we're only 6 and 7 at playtime, we used to climb over the wall and get all the beer bottles and empty them into one. drops of the, and they've been standing for weeks on end, most probably. But I always remember that school, Sandyford Road, and still there. And my auntie took me there when I started. I always remember that.
Did you enjoy school life?
Not really. For one reason, I wasn't very good at it, and that's why I didn't like it. I was good at geometry at school. I like that sort of... I wasn't very good. I just left with the normal in those days, you know, at 14.
Mm-hmm. Which school were you going to when you left at 14?
I moved from there. When we come up to the west end of Newcastle, I went to Wingrove School. I went there and I was 11 years of age, Wingrove. And one thing I was good at, I was drawing. I could draw well. And I remember on the Friday afternoon, the first session was drawn. And then the second session was sports, football. And I had football boots on and my shorts. And I'd done this drawing of a hand. And the teacher thought it was so good, I had to go around all the classes in my football gear showing on this. And I was so embarrassed going around the girls with my little shorts on. I didn't tell them I put my hand on the doors. And but that was up to 11. And then from then we went to Westcote Road School. That's the one that's on the road you come up here. I went there until I was 14 and then left then.
What was the discipline like in school?
Oh, very harsh in those days. You know, you always got the old strap. I always remember the strap. It always seemed to hit here.
On your wrist?
On the wrist, and you used to get the swelling from the strap. It wasn't the cane, it was always the strap. And that was for not paying attention and not grasping the subject or something like that. Yeah. My son, always tell him to learn his tables because I says that was me multiplication tables. I didn't grasp them and I was at a disadvantage all the time through school and through that because you couldn't reckon it up and therefore you were behind everyone else. Mm.
Yeah. When you left school, did you start work?
Yes, I got a job, a butcher boy in Stanhope Street, more or less immediately, and I worked there for 4 or 5 months, I think. I got the sack there because I had one of the butcher bikes, the big heavy things with a basket on the front. And I had it timed. I used to ride it up to the butcher's shop and put the brake on and stop and just lean against the wall and get off. And I used to have this timed. And this day it was size and that, and I went down and it didn't stop at the wall and I leaned and I broke the window and the boss of the butcher gave me the sack. So that was the finish of that one. So.
Where did you go to after that?
From there, I got a job in Granger Street in a shoe shop. Playfair shoe shop. Again, the job there was delivering shoes to the different people of Newcastle. They used to order shoes and I had to go and put them in a box and wrap them up and deliver them to the different addresses of Jesmond and places like that. I was there quite a time and enjoyed it, but in those days, when you come to 16... You something to do with stamps or something, so they started another one. So I finished there. And then a friend of my father's, a chap called Raisin, he got me a job at Dex Garage. I don't know if you know Dex Garage in the town. It's quite a big, there's three floors below ground level and about 4 or 5 above ground level, and they have ramps to go around to all these different floors. And the job there, I used to do a night shift and day shift at 16, and it was selling petrol, and in the morning you had overalls and a peak cap and a leather bag for to put your money in, and there was about 6 of us, and we used to line up in the morning. The foreman was an ex-army sergeant major, and he used to come and inspect you. And then he used to go to the office, and the manager used to come out, and he was an ex-army major, And they thought they were still in the forces, they used to inspect this, and then carry on, Sergeant Major. And it used to fall out, and their job was selling petrol, partly selling petrol, and the rest was on the floors, all these different floors. The customers used to drive up onto the floor. And in those days, the cars were such as whippets, they called one, was a massive, great big heavy thing. They used to drive, leave them, and our job was to push them on your own, because each lad had a floor, you had to push them and push them around and back them in like that, so that when the customer came, he could just get in and drive out and away down and away, you see. Well, again, I started learning to start the engines up, because they didn't have keys in those days. They were just to switch the ignition on and off. And at the end of each floor was a round turntable, a big round turntable, and you were supposed to push it onto there and then turn it round and then push it up. Well, I found that if I drove onto them, pulled the handbrake on, when the rear wheels was on this thing, the back used to go around like that. And I had it to a fine art. In fact, people used to come and watch me doing it to finish. I was doing it, and then when I was on day shift, it finished at 5 o'clock. I used to go up the workshops, which is on the top floor, and I used to spend 2 hours with the mechanics, voluntary, learning the mechanics of the cars, you see. And the boss sent for me, this major, and he says, I hear you're spending your own time in the workshop. And he says, well, if you keep on that, he says, you'll get on well with the firm. I said, fair enough. He told my father, and he's fairly pleased. And then a matter of 2 weeks after, I think, I was doing this turn of mine with putting the car and pull the handbrake on. And I drove down, pulled the handbrake on, and nothing happened. And there was a petition at the end of the officers, and I went straight through the front of the car, and here's the manager sitting and looking at me sitting in this car, and of course that was a finish. That was that job finished.
What hours were you working?
We used to start 7:30 till 5 o'clock at night, and
was this 6 days a week?
Yes, sure, yes, Saturdays, and we used to do a night shift. I think we used to start about 11 at night. I didn't know. About 10 o'clock at night, I think it was, till 7 in the morning, something like that.
And what wages did you get?
8 shilling. It was 8 shilling a week. That's what we got. It was the same wages I got for the shoe shop, 8 shilling. Yeah. The shoe shop, I remember my father, my shoes was getting worn through, and he says, ask the boss if you can have a pair of shoes and pay 1 shilling a week for them. So I asked the boss if I could do this. He says, no. He says, we can't do that at all. So when I knew I was leaving, I fitted myself out with a pair of good shoes, and I put blacking on them, and I put my old shoes in the box and put them up on the racks. So I can imagine some poor person coming and got them down and finding these old shoes stuck in the box.
In your childhood days, had you ever got involved with the Boy Scouts or the Boys Brigade?
No. The only thing I did there was go to Sunday school, the little chapel there, the Wesleyan Church it was, little chapel there in Jesmondville. No, I used to make little boats to sail on the water, the river there, with tin cans and petrol tins, and wrap them in canvas and go bird nesting in Jesmondine. And I got locked in Jesmondine one night, at least three of us did, where the old mill is. The park keeper caught us, and he put us in this, what was left of the mill, with a big gate on, and locked it, and left us there for 2 hours in the night time, and we were scared of it. And we came home.
When you finished your job with the car company, what happened then?
When I finished there, well, as I say, I was only there about 3 months, 4 months or something like that. And jobs were hard to get there in that time, 1930s. My father was always on about, getting something to do. And I used to go out every day looking for work, and I couldn't find anything. And I got friendly with these people called Raisin. And one of the sons, Corporal Raisin, was in the Durhams at Catterick. And he suggested through his mother that I consider joining the army. Well, I don't know. I had a lot of trouble with my father and that, so I left home. And it was only a matter of 200 yards up the road, the other people, and I went to live with the Raisin family. Well, the Raisin family, he used to be a tailor for the Durham St. Catrick before he retired. And his son was a corporal in the Durhams. We used to call him Polly Raisin, Jack Raisin he was, Polly Raisin. He used to be the pole jump champion for the Northern Command. A very fit bloke. I stopped with them, and the mother took me down to New Bridge Street to join the army. So when I went down there, and they asked me what I wanted to join, I said the Royal Army Service Corps. Because I'd done a little at the motor in just a couple of months, but I was interested in driving. So they give me some tests, and he says, I'm afraid that you're not no good for the Royal Army Service Corps. So they suggested the Durhams. I joined the Durhams and had a medical, and and I went to Cuba to give us a dressing gown and had a strong medical. And
form did your medical take?
Well, all the eyesight and health and all this sort of thing, and you had just had the dressing gown, nothing on, with this army doctor. Actually, the place recruiting is where it's a cat and dog shelter now, or where they do animals or some blooming thing. And it was pretty strong medical.
So after the medical, what happened then?
Signed the paper, and we got a shilling. That was the King shilling in them days, and told where Fenham Barracks was. Well, I lived just near Fenham Barracks. I lived 600 yards from Fenham Barracks. We had to report there. We got the tram car up and went into Fenham Barracks.
Do you remember the date?
Yes, 13th of January, 1933. Because I remember it was blooming cold and bleak.
And how were you received at the barracks?
Oh, terrible. herded into a barrack room. It's where the BBC now is, the new broadcasting place. That, actually, the BBC, right on the site where the three-story building was, where there was our barrack room. And it was freezing cold, there was no heating in the place, and it was only cold water to wash with. And there was 24 in a barrack room. And in those days, similar to probation here, they used to send them to Borstal. And when they come from Borstal, they used to come into the army, and half the blokes in the barrack room, I mean, I was only 16 and a half. Because when they said, how old are you? I said, 18. And I was, right through my army career, I was a year and a half older than I actually was. So I was in the barrack room there with all these characters of training ships and all kinds, and 24. And a right rough lot then. Then they paid you off, and they made a boxing ring affair and see who's who and whatnot and sort you out.
What do you mean, a boxing ring affair?
Well, they got the forms and made it in the middle of the barrack room. And the Corporal Rigg used to be our... I was in Ains Squad, that was it. Used to be Inkerman Squad, Ains Squad, Hood Squad. And put the forms and they paid you off according to weight, I think it was, and you done your boxing. And then you went through, if you went any higher, but I didn't go any higher.
So on that first day that you went in, did you get a uniform that day?
No, we didn't get a uniform for a couple of days until we went to the dentist. We had inoculations and all this sort of thing. And then we went and got our uniform.
What kind
issued.
Of uniform did you get? What were your issue with?
Canvas. We used to call it canvas in those days. It was a... like a canvas material, trousers and a jacket. And, of course, your big army boots, long putties, not the short ones they wear, the long putties with the... And the trousers used to be there, like the 1914 war type, you see on them photographs the same time. Great coat, all this rifle and equipment and mess tin and blankets and sheets. The sheets were canvas as well. They were like pieces of cardboard. They were blooming freezing. And the pillar was like a bolster affair, stuffed with straw. But you being young and you were kept going all day, and you had no difficulty sleeping once you got into your bed at night. Yeah.
What was the accommodation like?
Oh, it was very basic. Just the barrack room, and at the end was two toilets, two wash basins, cold water, and you had to shave and everything in cold water. And at those days, you couldn't walk about. Everything you did, you had to double. You had to double upstairs, you had to double downstairs, because the Evening Chronicle had done an article on us at the time, the amount of distance you covered, running here, running there, running up and down, running, you know, upstairs and all your kit, downstairs and PT kit, and then on a cross-country run, and then in the gyms, and then in the range, and all this. You kept moving all the time. And as I say, the wage was 14 shillings a week. They used to take 3 shillings off you for laundry and bits and pieces. And out of the 11 shillings, you had to buy your soap and blacking and stuff like that. And you had to buy a tin of kiwi. And the floor, the wooden floor, you had to do your part of the floor with your hands and knees with a cloth. The wooden with your kiwi, and it was your area, and each one done his own. It was all polished, the whole lot. And on a kit inspection, we used to have a kit inspection once a month. The chap in charge of our squad used to start the night before, preparing your bed, your blankets folded and everything, your blanket, and laying your stuff down, and all that to be all in line right down, all your socks and everything. And you kept one blanket spare, and you slept on the floor. And your kit was on your bed all night, ready for next morning, and you were lying, sleeping on the floor. And yeah.
What happened if you were short of kit?
Oh, you got jankers. I mean, obviously, you're up in front of someone. I mean, we're never short of kit.
There was no stealing going on?
No. Surprisingly, pre-war, everybody was very honest. Nobody stuck anybody. You could leave your wages on the bed and nobody would ever touch it. And that happened in India a lot. Nobody would ever touch your money or any of your kit. And it was only when the war started we found that, you know, you had to put your boots, the bed leg on each boot, otherwise there was none there in the morning. You know. But they were very honest, and they were a rough lot, but we were all, how can I put it, we were all come into the army under different circumstances, and we all helped each other. And they were very good.
There was no bullying or...
No.
No initiation ceremonies?
Well, there was the odd one. One chap called Barty Finn. He was a bit of a boxer, and he used to try at the beginning, but eventually they all settled into each other and were quite good. I used to be very laying kit. You see, when the officer inspected, if it was very good, he'd say excuse kit. That meant the next time you're excused, and if you got 3 in succession, you're excused for 3 months. And I always somehow had to seem to please with laying the kit, and I used to get excused kit, and it was very good. And I used to have the job of the PT instructor. He had a girlfriend in the town, and I used to have to go down with a note to tell her that he couldn't get out or something, and that was me not laying kit, you see. So, and with living in Newcastle, I knew the runner of the town, and I had to go and buy 24 towels for kit inspection to lay down, and I used to go to the Woolworths and places for them.
What kind of kit had you been issued with?
Socks, the old army socks. Army shirts, long johns, woolens, and the woolen vest and had brass buttons, cardigan, army cardigans, the uniform, your canvas, PT kit, shorts and vest, sand shoes, mess tin, rifle, oil button, brushes, things like that. Yeah. And
how,
all that.
How did you keep it clean?
Well, do you mean the stuff you wore? Well, each week it was bundled up. You bundled it up, and it went to a laundry somewhere. That was your shirt, underclothes, and things like that. The rest of it, the uniform, you used to keep it under your bed, between the mattress. You used to get pieces of cardboard, and you'd get a mug of water, and take the crease down like that, your trousers, and put it in between the cardboard, and fold your jacket with the sleeves, and then your mattress on your biscuits, as we called them, on top. And it kept it all creased, and then you lifted it out, and it was all nicely creased.
And what about, did you have any form of webbing?
Oh, yes, you had all your webbing equipment. That had to be broncoed, and all the brasses cleaned, and this sort of thing. Yeah. That was the one job I used to hate at Farnham Barracks, because there was a shed with benches there, and you had to do your webbing blank one down there, and it was freezing cold, you know, and with the water, and you was blank one. It was always an uncomfortable. And at night time, after you'd been there 3 weeks, what happened is, after you'd been there 3 weeks, you'd put your uniform, they showed you how to wear it and everything, and you had a white belt in those days, like the guards will still wear, I think the guards wear them, still wear them, is a white belt with the brass buckles and all the brasses. And you used to blank it white, clean the brasses, and then you got a pencil, and about 280-odd pencil stitch holes, you had to do that to mark it all along and then put it on. And then two of you went up to the guard room at the main gate of Farnham Barracks, and you were inspected, and he says, right, and then you turn right and come back to barrack room and took all your gear off and that, because you weren't allowed out for another 3 weeks, you see. And after three temps you went up, they would allow you out. And you had to go out in twos, and you went to the guard room, and the inspector, about turn inspector, and right, and then you turned, and you marched out on the barrack road, and you couldn't just walk, you had to march. To both together, and we used to have a stick those days, a stick with a silver knob on, and used to walk with them. You had to march down barrack road. When you come to the pavement to cross over, you had to mark time, and then step off, walk, and then mark onto them. And all the way down on the other side of the road, there were sergeants there with notebooks. Anybody that didn't march properly or talked on the way down or didn't, he was reported when you were on a charge when you got back. When you into Gallagher, there used to be the Gunner's Arms, and there was an old lady there, used to be the landlady. It's gone now, it's all pulled down. But you used to march as far as there, and then turn left and straight in the door into this pub. And the old ladies used to say, always the same, come in, me lads, open your jacket collars and sit yourself down. She says, you're safe now, they can't touch you in here. Yeah, and beer used to be 6 minutes a pint in them days.
What was the initial training about, and what was it like?
In the barracks, yeah. Well, you started off, you know, learning how to march and all the different moves and physical training, the horse, jumping over the horse, rope work, climbing ropes, bayonet fighting. And then at a .22 range there, used to learn how to fire a rifle. We used to do a lot of cross-country runs. And it was like the basic training for 16 weeks. That was learning before you went down to Catterick to join the battalion. Here. So when you left there, you were qualified to march and use your rifle and fire a rifle with .22 ammunition and things like that.
Was all your marching done at light infantry pace?
Yes, 140 to the minute it was.
Mm. And what rifle had you been issued with?
The 303, the Enfield. The different one to what they had during the war. You know, was a different type altogether. Yeah.
What time did you get up on a morning?
Half past six, Three Valley, that was it. Uh-huh.
And what would be a typical day?
Well, you get up half past six. As I said, there was only two wash basins, 24 people. So a case of some used to do the making the beds up. Well, they used to have three biscuits with the mattresses and three blankets. And you used to have to make your bed with these biscuits, the blankets over, stretch taped, and they were like that. And the others was folded up behind, but you weren't allowed to sit on them. But that was the way, and you had to do set them up. And the others would be getting washed, somebody in the toilet, and then you get a wash, and then 7 o'clock, you're downstairs, and you used to fall in. You didn't just wander to the dining room, you had to fall in downstairs and march to the dining room. They march into the dining room, and they had the long tables with 24 on each table as you went in. And I always remember in them days, we were always hungry, you know, young and running around, and the food was very basic.